I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and my guest today is Michael Detweiler, community advocate extraordinaire. Is that what I just called you?
I
lost it.
Sounds good. I'll take it.
You are just kind of someone that everyone knows. Do you feel like that?
Well, that's kind.
People are like, I don't know why I know him, but I know him.
My wife definitely says, you've got like thousands of Facebook friends that we don't even know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And they come up to me and go, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm your husband's Facebook friend.
Right.
And she goes, great, who are you?
I'm sure. Are you like the kind of dad, too, where your kids are like, he's talking to somebody again, and they're like, oh, I guess we better have a seat because we ain't leaving soon.
We're not leaving so soon. That happens quite a bit. And, you know, quite frankly, it came from my previous work, you know, working as a field representative for a member of Congress.
So you were working on the Dianne Black campaign.
Yes. I actually volunteered for her back in 2010 on the campaign, and it was interesting. Her season tickets for the Titans and my parents were next to each other. And so that's how we got to know her. And she was a state rep at the time, became a state senator, and then decided to run for Congress when our former member, Bart Gordon, had retired. And so she decided to run. So I decided to help her.
Did you have a background in politics at the time?
I have a love for politics, so I'm just very interested in it. And not necessarily a background, maybe going back to high school, I was part of a club that was brand new to our high school here in town that was a political club. And so one of our first trips was to Nashville, and we got to tour the governor's mansion, and Governor Alexander and his wife actually were the ones who led us on the tour. So it made a huge mark on me.
Right. So then you just kind of had a love for it. So you mentioned you graduated from Cookeville High School. Are you a true Tennessean? Have you been here forever?
No, ma'am. Moved here in 1976. As my dad says, you know, we're not from Tennessee, but we got here as fast as we could. And so,
sometimes I feel the same way. I've been here about 7 years now. And
it's not bad. So, it's really a neat place.
Yeah. So you, did you stay here for school, for college?
I stayed here because I had opportunity. I moved to Nashville, worked in, you know, Franklin and Murfreesboro and Hendersonville and kind of around the Nashville area. But as you get older in life and you start thinking about kids and family and everything else, you kind of go, the big city, you know, is kind of not where I want to raise my
family. Yeah.
And I always loved here, so I came back.
And so you have how many kids?
I have three. They're 26, almost 13, and 10. So it's girl, girl, boy.
Quite the spread. And you just became a grandfather.
I did.
As your thousands of Facebook friends know.
Yeah. As they all know, because I post pictures, right?
And it's a cute kid.
Yeah, he is. He's got big, beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
And
so you're a family guy, so you come back here and you start... What were you doing when you first came back to town?
When I first came back to town, we operated a golf store. And so we sold golf clubs for a living.
And who's we?
My father and I.
Okay.
And so we operated a golf store. I had been in the restaurant business. And so then we were ahead of our time. The golf business was booming, but Cookeville and the Upper Cumberland just wasn't quite ready for a golf-only type of store.
Do you think you always kind of have entrepreneurship in your bones?
I have.
I
love it.
As a kid, do you think that that's what you wanted to be in?
I think it was birthed in me as a teenager, working in the restaurant business and being able to move up and be in charge.
Yeah.
I was a 23-year-old general manager of a million-dollar restaurant, and so... It, you know, they taught me literally everything on how to run a business, how to run a profitable business, how to deal with customers, how to deal with employees. And so there were so many skills that taught me. And so I've always had an interest in it.
Yeah. So in case you're just joining us, we have Michael Detweiler, community extraordinaire. So you mentioned that you worked on the Dianne Black campaign.
I did.
And I don't want to get into too much politics,
sure.
But I think that we were kind of talking a little bit before we got on air about the fact that you do have a Facebook presence
yes.
in this community, and you our very respectful Facebook presence.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you are conservative,
mm-hmm.
you are strong in your values,
mm-hmm.
but you're not going to go out and blast
yeah.
the people that don't have the values that you have, or blast people that don't feel as strongly, you know, or that feel very strongly. You're not going to blast people.
Right.
And so why do you choose to have that presence that
so,
you do?
So really the only people that I will blast, I've kind of got a, let's see, how will people call it? I'm known for this, is that if they park like out of the lines or weirdness on the square, back when I worked for Congressman Black, I would take pictures of it and post it. And a friend of mine, Chad McDonald, mm-hmm. at the Cookeville Performing Arts Center, he always posted pictures from his part of town. So he and I quickly became buddies on parking is hard. And so again, sometimes driving or sometimes parking, I may
get... Were you the reason that the lines got painted downtown?
Let's just say it's just common sense. If you have a long vehicle, don't park it in a way that it hangs out into traffic anyway.
You would think.
Yeah, so you would think. So
parking is one of your pet peeves.
Pet peeves, yes. And then the people that share, you know, they couldn't give away this car, so now you got to share the post,
yeah,
and
yeah.
they'll give you the new 2020 Ford whatever,
right, yeah.
or the tiny house, or the whatever. And so those I will quickly correct somebody. And my wife gets on my case about that. I'm sure she's going to hear this. And
but why have you chosen to, I mean, it's not like you don't have strong values. You
right.
worked for a very conservative congresswoman.
Yes. Even though she was very strong in her values, she was one of those people that when you met her and you had 5 minutes of conversation and you walked away, it didn't matter what side of the aisle that you were on, you went, I like her. There's something about her that's different. And that, and obviously I learned a lot from working for her, but it's the old adage of, you know, you draw more bees with honey than mm-hmm. you do with vinegar. And so, I will say our new pastor at Trinity in Allgood, where I go to church, Jason Yarbrough, he teaches on that a lot. He said, we got to love people. He said, we don't need to beat them over the head. We need to love them.
And there's a little bit of not love going on in this community,
sure
I feel
there
like.
Is.
So what is Michael Detweiler, community extraordinaire, would you say is going to make a turn for a little more love in this community?
I think both sides need to have more understanding of each other's positions. A lot of the time I don't choose to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And there's these mask shamers out there that will absolutely blast you. Like, how dare you leave your house, first off, and then how dare you leave your house without wearing a mask?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's just one example.
And to be totally transparent,
mm-hmm.
there was a picture you posted, and this was early on, and I said, hey, I just want to ask you,
mm-hmm.
I'm not attacking
right.
you. I wanted to understand where
sure.
you were coming from.
Absolutely.
And so I thought it was a really great conversation
mm-hmm.
to understand where you were coming from and,
mm-hmm.
and understand your opinions and thoughts on it.
Sure.
And so I think there's a lot of that can happen.
It can happen.
And not, it's not a blast out on Facebook. It's
right.
I didn't ask you on Facebook.
Sure.
You asked
me behind the scenes mm-hmm. in a direct message that said, hey, please tell me, you know, and of course you and I had a chat about
right,
it.
Right. And yeah, you know, and it was like, and I was very nervous because there's yeah. just so much attacking in
right.
the world
there
right
is.
Now.
There is.
And so, and then the other side then feels defensive of,
right.
of any choice, you know, the
right.
fact that there are business owners out there that have to choose to wear a mask because they don't want to get sick. If they
correct.
Get sick, they have to close their business
correct.
Down.
Or they don't want to open themselves up to a lawsuit. of because they allowed this or that.
And so then there's people that say, don't frequent that business. They'll right. never get my money if right. if they wear a mask. And it's like...
Right. Or the... And I won't mention any names, but then there's, you know, Facebook pages that get created that, you know, they're into shaming the businesses that aren't going by the rules that this group thinks they ought to go,
yeah.
go by. So yeah. it's really an interesting, it should be a two-way street, meaning, you know, obviously we're driving and we're defensive drivers. We're not offensive drivers passing mm-hmm. everybody that goes slower than us on 10th Street, for mm-hmm. instance. And so we need to kind of understand each other.
I think there's groups on both sides that are
absolutely.
And I think my biggest advice that I say to everyone right now is no one wants to be in this situation.
No.
No one's trying to offend anyone, or I'm only doing this to hurt you.
Right.
The business owners in this community, and that's what makes Cookeville amazing as yes. a small businesses, are doing the best that they can
yes,
right now.
They
and they're
are.
Making the best decisions that they can.
Yes, they are. And I feel bad for the local restaurants, you know, because again, that was my background. You know, people like Nicole Wilson at Nick's, you know, somebody I've known a long, long time. Because of COVID, you know, they need help.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at, you know, you can list them all over on the mm-hmm. old west side.
Mm-hmm.
And then up on the square, and there's, you know, they need help because their traffic, takeout traffic, takeout is expensive because of the boxes you put them in. You're not washing dishes that you can reuse over and over again. And it takes more time to make a carryout order.
We're going to get more into this when we get back in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I'm Michael Detweiler in. We're just saying community extraordinaire, community leader. I mean, you definitely, you're
well,
just involved.
You.
You're involved, like you said, you're involved with your church, and mm-hmm. you've been involved in politics, and mm-hmm. A parking lot attendant for the city of Cookeville, apparently, for a little while. And one other thing that you started, and when did you start the Cookeville Weather Guy? When did that come about?
That came about... gosh, your last guess, oh, I guess I shouldn't say this, but Ashley and I actually shared an office together and both worked at Lamar Advertising.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can do with that what you want.
She mentioned that you guys
yes.
worked. So, you've had a million careers.
Yes, I have. And they're all so much fun. And so, anyway, so Channel 2 in Nashville had what was called a weather blog. And so I patterned this weather blog after what they did, but for up here, because as you know, our weather's different than it is in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where we get our forecast from is Nashville. And so I wanted to create something that was specifically for this area. And so that's what I created. And it began as a blog, but as social media dominated, then obviously I switched it over to social media. So I started Cookeville Weather Guy around 2007 and then transitioned it over to a social media site 2012, 2013.
Do you have knowledge in meteorology?
I have a huge interest. I lived in areas.
In case people just joined us, you
yes.
said the same thing about politics.
Yes. And so what that's done is like Dr. Evan Hart at Tennessee Tech, who teaches weather and climate and who has a degree in this, he has me come over from time to time and fill in and teach. And so here's a guy that, you know, yes, I have observation skills. I don't necessarily have, I didn't go to Penn State University and get a degree in meteorology or broadcast meteorology at Mississippi State. So I've spoken from kindergarten to the Tennessee Tech Women's Club to literally the National Weather Service get together. Okay, the guys at the National Weather Service asked me to come do a presentation. So, you know, it's interesting.
You're just a... You're a success story of just following your heart and really, if you have a passion in something, try it.
Get involved. Do what you're passionate about.
And figure out a way. Because like you said, you didn't go to Penn State to get a degree in weather and meteorology and learn that stuff, but you've kind of taken this on as a hobby.
I have.
And this has become, I'm not sure that I followed the page before the tornado, but after the tornado, that page has become a lifeline for people.
It's exploded. And again, I try not to be too dramatic with it. Okay. I give you the facts. I have a little fun, you know, and so it's designed to be informative and it's designed to give you facts you didn't know. And then when it's boring, like it is right now, then I'll be funny, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I'll never be inappropriate or anything like that.
How much do you feel pressure now that from the tornadoes?
Yes.
I'm sure you feel a bit more pressure. Heavy pressure.
Yes. And the pressure is that when we have severe weather that I be, you know, available, you know, whether it's via the smartphone or whether it's via the Chromebook, that I'm available for people, because I'll get private messages. I'm scared. What do I do?
That's a lot of weight. Has there been a time, I mean, we were about 6 months out from the tornado now. Has there been a time where you thought, I don't know if I can handle this. Like, I might need to shut this down.
Yeah, there's been, sure, absolutely. I think everybody goes through that. You can, you know, look at both our city and county mayor. I'm sure there's times they want to shut theirs down, you know, because of criticisms or whatever. But it's a service and it's a responsibility, and I'm passionate about the weather. Hey, I even did weather on television. Okay. Think about this.
A guy
is not a broadcast meteorologist and he did weather on TV. So,
yeah. So where do you think that you take that after this? Is this just a hobby for you?
I think so. You know, I've had offers to monetize it. I've had businesses that have said, hey, if you'll do banner ads, say on a website, I'll pay you for it. You know, and there's been thoughts of that, but then what do I turn it into? I turn it into kind of a job.
Right.
You know, now I put on there what I want to put on there. And of course, you know, when people have questions, concerns, whatever, it can be serious concerns about something, or it can be that they're trying to be funny and they've completely failed and it's like not appropriate. I mean, I could bite back on them, but I gently take it down and then respond privately to them and say, hey, by the way, I took this down. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why this such a politically charged climate that our community seems to be in, you do kind of have that forum to kind of stay steady and to stay, you know, not go high or low, or just kind of stay steady. In case you're just joining us, we have Michael Detweiler in today. And so the other thing that we kind of wanted to talk about is that your daughter, Mary Catherine, has been sick.
Yeah, she was diagnosed at like age 9 with a brain tumor. And so you could imagine getting punched
in
the gut.
She's your youngest?
She's my middle child. So she'll be 13 very soon. And so I can't believe she's going to be a teenager, but she is. And so she had a 14 months worth of chemotherapy. I'll give you the short version. And she, everything was going well. She has 4 MRIs a year to measure the size of the tumor to see, you know, what's going on with it. Last January, she had an MRI. And after completing chemotherapy the previous February, and we got the bad news that, you know, it's growing again. So it's kind of like, okay, so we got to restart the chemotherapy because it's in a location in her brain that they cannot operate. And they said they'd only do that to save her life. We're not in that situation. And they said they would do so much damage going in that it's just not worth it to go in there and operate. And so the best course of action is chemotherapy. And she's had times where her blood counts have been very low. There's been times she's had to receive platelets. And, and so I know that's very near and dear to
and
your
actually,
heart.
And actually, now that we were just mentioning this, that is how I first met you,
that's
is that
right.
Ashley Swan tagged us together in a blood donation
that's
thing.
That's right.
So again, another way that you impact this community is that you had... Did you know a blood assurance before?
I did. My dad was a volume donor for many, many years. And he would, when he was vice president and general manager of Tutco here in town, they would do blood drives and he would encourage their people there to give. And so, you know, just out of his, you know, love for it, you know, I do that as well. I'm not as regular as I should be, and I will admit that. And folks, please go give blood.
So in case you don't know, you can donate blood every 56 days.
Yes, you can.
And something I learned the other day when I was there is that when you donate whole blood, which usually takes 30 minutes in the door, out the door, it takes 10 units to get to one donation of a recipient.
Wow.
So it takes 10 donors for what one recipient needs. And so I usually donate platelets, which are specifically one component of blood that's given to patients that are sick, usually with cancer or an immune deficiency. And so it's not as easy, you know, it's not as easy as you think that, oh, I, you know, they must have plenty of blood that, you know, that people donate all the time. It is something that you need to kind of keep regular and schedule out. And and even when you donate your whole blood, they do separate it out into white blood cells and red blood cells and platelets and whatnot. So I could probably go on and talk about blood donation. So schedule your appointment if you haven't yet.
Please do.
Are you up your 56 days yet?
Yes, I am. I'm way past it. And so I need to get in there.
So Jesse over
quickly.
At Blood Assurance,
right.
It's over across from the depot. Everybody call tomorrow because they're probably closed by now. It's 5:30. And so call over there tomorrow.
That's right.
Schedule your appointment. You can, well, with COVID, I don't know if you can walk in there anymore. Yeah. So
that's what I used to do is walk in because they text you.
Yes.
They're very good about texting and calling just to make sure that you know and to remind you. And when I would get that, then I would run over there.
So how is Mary Catherine doing?
Now she's currently undergoing every other week chemotherapy treatment. So Wednesdays, every other week she's treated and the side effects are pretty difficult. Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, and first part of Friday. So she's missing every other week. She's missing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of school.
Yeah.
And our Putnam County school system is awesome. They have worked with us.
Yeah.
In more ways than I can even begin to explain. And so she's feeling good. You know, she has all those days when she doesn't have a treatment on a Wednesday where she's able to feel good and be a regular kid. And that's what she wants to be, is a normal teenage kid. So
we just have a few minutes left. How can people, if they want to, they can find you at Cookeville Weather Guy on Facebook.
They can.
The Cookeville Weather Guy, right?
It's Cookeville Weather Guy is how it's listed. And it's a page on there. And then, of course, Michael Detweiler on Facebook. But I'm kind of up against the limit on numbers of friends.
And what you're actually getting paid to do by your, you started a business yourself, is that you're doing IT work in doctor's offices now.
I am.
So I guess if there's a doctor and they need some IT work, they can call you up. LinkedIn. Are you on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn.
Maybe that's where people can go and find you instead of the friend cap.
And they can find me on Twitter. I'm on there as Cookeville WX Guy. And, you know, I get into other things other than weather on there as well. I enjoy Twitter. It's a great place to go. If there's a breaking news event, you can type in whatever it is and see things quickly. So I like that.
Any parting thoughts? We got 30 seconds.
30 seconds. be an inspiration in your community. Don't be the person that people want to hide from when they see you coming. That's what I would tell you to be.
Be an inspiration. I like it. I think that's great, and I think that's a good thing to keep in your forefront of your
Absolutely.
Mind.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Michael. It was
Thank
great
you,
to have
Tiffany.
You.